WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Living in the big city, the American dream is far from me, and the streets are gritty. Everywhere I turn, I'm on a mission for more, but I ain't selling my soul for the dough. That's no go. I'm on the one way. I got a sound that'll rattle your block. I'm in the fast lane and I won't stop. You ain't nothing but talk. You couldn't hang on the robot wall.
This life that I live, it ain't for the weak. Got my rowdy ass gangster that came off the street. I'm trying to keep.
It's Sunday night and it's Blizzard Watch 2026 here where I'm at. But this is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTLRChat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. Support the channel for free. You can also use credit card Rocket Sock in the Fortnite M shop when you buy Disney plushie backlinks. Hashtag Epic Burner. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern.
You said Blizzard Watch, right?
Blizzard Watch, yes.
Okay, because tomorrow here it's going to be a nice balmy 80 degrees, followed by 83, 84, and 86 on Thursday. So we may even get up to 90 by next weekend.
I learned that bombogenesis was the phrase that was used a little bit ago on a headline about the snow.
Oh. Yeah, it's going to be sunny and clear here, so have fun with that snow.
Totally. And yes, you can steal your partner's Prime if you don't have Prime. It's a thing. Or your grandmother's, your uncle's, your first cousin's, your third cousin's, whoever. If it's Prime, use it. It's free. Don't let it go to waste. Use it here. We also have the voice of Ignition Pro Wrestling, one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. I've got a new microphone. How do I sound?
Like you did back in 2004.
Was that good or bad?
I don't know yet.
Oh, okay. We're still puzzling it out. I see. I understand.
It has that, I don't know how you would describe that sound. It's crisp. But it also has a ting to it. It feels different. There's something to it.
And we still haven't decided if it's good or bad.
Again, it sounds like I'm listening to Wrestle Talk Radio back in 2004 a little bit. I don't know.
Well,
if that's
if I remember correctly, 2004 didn't sound bad.
For that time, I don't know. Hey, it's not buzzing. It's not rattling. We're good.
So that's a start. Anyway, we'll decide later on. Officially, good evening. Yeah, everybody, we're going to be previewing Elimination Chamber tonight. And Rocky introduced me as the voice of Ignition Pro Wrestling. Thank you.
I did, because I saw your message and said, hey, that's what the role is, because you have something to promote, Tim.
Yes, there is a new wrestling promotion. They've already had a couple of shows, and I just got picked up. They approached me to do the play-by-play commentary and be the official voice of Ignition Pro Wrestling. Now, who are these people? Well, if you remember Heart Legacy Wrestling, when was that? 2000 and what, 9?
Has it been 12? That? Has it been? It's been a minute.
Hey, intern, could you do me a quick favor, please?
Sure,
I appreciate it. You know what I'm asking. Anyway, the people behind Heart Legacy Wrestling are the people behind Ignition Pro Wrestling.
Founded in 2013 until 2017.
There it is. Okay. Well, I knew it was a while back.
It was announced in 2012, but they had their first show in 2013.
Yeah. So, there's a wrestling show coming up literally just down the street from my house at the Legion, just off Edmonton Trail, northeast Calgary, for those of you interested in attending. And the main event will feature Teddy the Terminator Hart.
Ooh, Teddy Hart?
Wow. Teddy Hart.
They found Teddy Hart.
I'll get pictures. So I can't say anything bad about Teddy or pick on him or anything like that, because I've known him since like 2003, so, or something like that. But yeah, I'll be there. Hey, talking about what's going on in the ring. Hi, Lindsay, by the way. I'm sorry to hear that you're on a blizzard watch, Rock, and that Lindsay's so cold. And intern, I don't think anybody likes you right now. That is not in the desert or Southern California or Florida.
I mean, most people don't like me anyway, so that's fine.
Well, I don't hate you, so that's a start. I guess as of tomorrow, I'm going to be the happy medium between the two of you. We've got another Chinook blowing in, and it's going to get up to a nice, we're looking about the mid-60s by the end of the week.
Great. So. Wonderful. That's fantastic.
And if you'd like to know what the local weather is in your area, stick your head out the window, because we're here to talk wrestling.
Put the maps in motion. Here you can see everything that's from the south. Anyway, we're here to talk about Elimination Chamber, which is this Saturday live on ESPN and Netflix internationally. I think 7 p.m. Eastern. Check your local time and availability in your area. Four matches. 4:30. I don't know how it would start on a half hour, but that's, you know. Anyway,
pre-show coverage and shit.
Well, that's like 2 hours beforehand. There's like a 2 hour pre-show and all that things.
Oh, anyway, they're doing Canadian stuff before they get into the main broadcast.
Anyway, so it's in Chicago. So go Chicago.
I've been there.
Congrats. But we have four matches to get into. We'll start with the singles matches and then finish with the chamber matches themselves. As the two people from Chicago are in action, the first one is AJ Lee as she challenges Becky Lynch for the Intercontinental Championship. This will be her first singles match in over a decade.
I'll say at least 10 years.
That's a little bit of time before, since she's been in the ring a solo. And
yeah, it's been a little while for her. I mean, but luckily they have gotten a couple of matches out of her in terms of like setup. You know, they had the tag match with her and Punk. Then she had the Elimination Chamber. I'm sorry, the War Games match. So she wasn't having to be fully on her own. She had some help around her and can also, you know, have those moments to rest as needed. But this will be her first big test. But from what we've seen so far, she doesn't look like she's missed much of a step.
Not too much at all. Yeah. Those first glimpses of her in the ring were just to make sure there wasn't any ring rust, I think. This match is happening earlier than I predicted.
Well, I think
it's still going to happen at Mania. It's just the setup.
This is the setup to Mania.
This is the setup to Mania.
Yeah. There will probably be shenanigans of some sort in this one. One would think.
I wonder if somebody's going to come out and give her a curb stomp. Wink, wink.
I don't not think quite. So. I don't quite think that's going to happen on this one, but you never know.
Not that, but you know, but Becky may enlist some help, which would kind of be in line with her as a heel. The question is, number one, who? And number two, is it someone who's already there, or is it going to be a way to kind of bring someone back or
elevate
maybe
someone.
Bring them up? Yeah.
Yeah. Elevate someone from NXT. I don't know who at this stage, because it's
well,
it's a weird spot, because if you bring someone up from NXT now with Mania coming, you would want them to have something featured on that show if you're bringing them up now.
Yeah. I mean, you could have them at ringside for Mania, so they're still kind of featured. Not that they're going to be, like, in the match. But the problem is, when it comes to NXT, the two people, the two females that you would see as probably the most ready to kind of come up are not in the role of being a lackey, for lack of a better term. I don't think you would want to bring up, like, a JC Jane as a lackey for Becky Lynch.
No, she's kind of moved on. She's moved on from being a lackey.
Right, and she's also leading her own group in NXT, so that would feel like, at least in my opinion, a step back. The other person who's ready to come up from NXT doesn't fit the role for two reasons. One, again, not in the role of lackey, and two, not even a heel.
Yeah.
In terms of Sol Ruka. You wouldn't really be like, oh, Sol's going to come up as a heel to help Becky.
She would be more in line to help. She'd be more in line to help AJ than help
right.
Becky.
Now, when it comes to NXT otherwise, I don't know if there's anyone you're quite ready to bring up, because Blake still has a lot that she needs to do down there. She's still in a program with Jada Parker, and also, again, I don't think you want her as a number two to Becky Lynch, because that would essentially be kind of a rehash of what she did in AEW, and I think she's moved on from that into being her own person. And the other people that could do it is like a Fallon Henley, but...
Again, you're splitting up a working group already.
Right. So that would leave, like, are there people that we haven't seen on the main roster for a while that could use this as a comeback if they went this route? I'm not saying it's a guarantee that they're going to put someone with it, but it's like, if you're going to have shenanigans, this would be a way to introduce it.
It would be, but in this one, I don't know if we're going to get shenanigans with, like, a person shenanigans.
Right, it could just be Becky being underhanded and pulling out
Becky
a win
being
that way.
Becky being the cowardly heel.
But I think we're all in agreement that, like, this match is not going to be clean finish in the end. Especially because you have to get it to Mania. This is the big match for Becky, the big match for AJ on that show. Punk is already in his match at Mania set up. Well, I mean, pending what happens at this show, he may not be. But the big match for both of these competitors is with one another, and you've got to get them to that point in a month and a half, 2 months, essentially.
So to get them that to that point, does AJ take the belt from Becky?
I don't think she takes it here. Only because the payoff for this whole thing is AJ taking the belt away from Becky and further solidifying conspiracy Becky. I think if you get the belt off of her now, the 2 month lead up is going to feel like a really big stall. And also, I think ultimately, if AJ wins, you've paid it all off. Whereas if AJ loses here, because she's picked up wins both times, correct?
Yeah. Yes. She's beaten her at Survivor Series, made her invisibility, you know, tap out, where she was swatting flies or bees or something. And she got the win at WrestlePalooza.
Her team got the win at War Games.
Yeah, and she got the win at WrestlePalooza.
That's right.
No, AJ got the win on Becky, where Becky was swinging her arms. Come on, where she said she was swinging her arms instead of tapping out.
Right.
Because there were bees or something.
Yeah, there was a bee, and she was trying to get it away. And the referee didn't know that, so Jessica Carr is in on the conspiracy. You know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, I think Becky needs a win here. One, to give her that kind of gloat over AJ of like, haha, I finally got one on you. And then, because AJ's had her number throughout the whole of this thing.
Yeah.
When she first came out, Becky, you know, kind of backed off until she did the run and then got beat down by AJ. And AJ's gotten her little bits of punishment here and there, but for the most part, like, especially this match, it was AJ goading her into it. It wasn't that Becky was ultimately like, yes, I want to do this. It was that AJ kind of poked and prodded her until finally she was just like, okay, fine, goddammit, I'm going to do it. And then Adam Pearce made it final, and he won his Bexy Award for being the worst GM of all. Which, by the way, fantastic trophy that Becky gave him. Fantastic.
Yeah, very, very fantastic.
But Becky needs something here to give her something moving forward. If you
I was just going to say, she's going to need momentum going into WrestleMania.
She is, and she needs there needs to be a reason why AJ would kind of provoke her into a match on the biggest stage. If she wins here, then yes, you get the rematch. But ultimately, I see WrestleMania as that moment where AJ gets the win, the fans go nuts. It is the payoff of everything, and Becky moves on to whatever else she's going to be doing. This is your way to get the belt off of Becky and move her on to new story. And if you get the belt off her now, then it's, I mean, okay, sure, she can still challenge for the belt as part of her rematch, but you've already gotten the payoff that everyone's looking forward to.
Yeah, but they have no rematch clauses left anymore. So
when they want, they can.
Yeah, when it fits the story, they do. For some people, apparently Cody, you don't get that rematch clause.
Because it's the fifth time you fought somebody.
It was the ultimate rubber match.
Yeah. All right. So, Tim, who wins?
There's not going to be a winner, or Becky wins.
That's two different answers here.
You got to give a official answer.
Okay, give the win to Becky, but by cheating.
Brent?
This is something where Becky gets disqualified, so technically, like, AJ gets the win, but Becky retains the belt. And, as I said, she can get the kind of thing of, you know, haha, you didn't get what you wanted, and AJ can still go, but you haven't beaten me. And that can simmer with Becky until we get to Mania, where they can do something where, like, there has to be a winner.
All right.
So, I'll say something like AJ, but via like disqualification or countout or something where the belt doesn't change hands.
All right, the World's Heavyweight Championship is on the line. CM Punk, Chicago's own, defends against Finn Balor.
Do we get the demon?
No.
No. You only bring the demon back if he's going to win a title.
Yeah, they've had the demon lose. But yeah, no,
that's the point. They've had the demon lose multiple times. There is no value. Next time you see it, he's got to win it.
Also, currently right now with Finn as a heel, the demon doesn't help things because you're going to get the fans to cheer him. And I get that they're trying to shift him, it seems, more towards a babyface style turn. But I think you need that more in storyline than just, we're going to break out the demon and get the fans to jump on that.
Yeah. Well, how much of the match are we going to see before Judgment Day inevitably shows up, even though they're told not to?
Oh, I think we're going to get plenty of the match before there's any kind of shenanigans. Mm-hmm. And the shenanigans are going to be ultimately what drives Finn over the edge.
Because it's McDonough that's going to cost him the match.
I don't think it'll be McDonough that costs him. I think it's going to be Dom who accidentally or slyly on purpose costs him.
Oh, you think it's going to be Dominic? Really?
Yeah, because your big payoff for this is going to be a Finn Dom.
The IC title.
Well, just Dominic can sit there and be like, the entire thing of this has always been Dom is sitting there going like, I've got the belts. I've got Liv. I'm kind of pulling, you know, like him and Liv are kind of pulling the strings. And Finn has just kind of been there, and it hasn't been until, like, recently that it's like, okay, Finn's gotten some chances, but he hasn't succeeded in those. Dom can sit there and be like, I'm a double champion, not just in Mexico, but the IC title here. What do you have to show for it? And yet you're trying to call yourself the leader. And we've seen a little bit of that on TV, and we've also seen Finn kind of teetering back and forth between, like, embracing old Finn with the music and the too sweet gesture and the kind of nature of the Judgment Day.
You swayed me. I was just leaning into the fact that Madonna, you know, he's returned. He's come back after a while and things go, you know, haywire.
I can see that, but I see McDonough as more kind of in the middle between those two of like, do I hang with the group or do I hang with the guy who kind of brought me here? And that's part of your lead up to WrestleMania is like, okay, we start to see the cracks within Judgment Day, and you see like, where do people kind of fall in amongst the lines? And you can have, well, I mean, Roxanne, it seems like, has been out with injury. Raquel is kind of aligned with Liv, but then there's still those question marks of, like, Liv has kind of cost her.
They seem to be back on the same page for now.
They do, and it's one of those things of maybe this is something that pays off after WrestleMania with, like, if Liv gets the belt off of Stephanie, then do we see jealousy or cracks amongst the females of the Judgment Day?
Yeah, I think that got put on hold when Roxanne got hurt or had to have like surgery on her back.
Yeah. Well, and that would also play into the whole thing of like, you have the female version of Liv would have the belt, Raquel would be sitting there, and it's like, Raquel hadn't been able to get the job done. Liv does, and now is it like, because Liv has kind of been one of those frenemies, it seems like, to Raquel throughout the whole experience as well. And it's like, oh, you're totally going to do this, I have your back, and she's eyeing that belt the whole time, and if Raquel doesn't get it, then it's like, oh, well, my turn. And now Raquel has to, like, get in line.
Yeah. So bringing it back to Punk at Finn.
Right.
There's no way Punk's dropping the belt here, right?
Not when you've set up the entire match of him and Roman as a main event for WrestleMania. And that, not when you're trying to sell tickets as the Big Show. I mean, it's a great match to get you to that point. It feels a little bit like Roman and Sammy where you're like, if it was another time in the year, if they wanted to put the belt on Finn, sure, would be great. But I don't think this close to Mania you want to have a title change that's going to, in terms of the fans, seem to upend the card. Because you might get people that are purchasing for Punk and Roman, and then when that doesn't happen, it becomes that idea of like, well, why the hell am I, you know, why the hell should I be interested now? And will create panic.
So you're both going CM Punk, correct?
Yeah, that would be kind of stupid not to, in my opinion.
Especially in Chicago, I think you have to go Punk here.
Yeah. All right, so moving to the Women's Elimination Chamber match will be for a shot at the one of the women's world titles, most likely. The one held by Jade
held Cargill. By Jade.
Yeah, the WWE Women's Championship. It is Tiffany Stratton, Rhea Ripley, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Kiana James, and one TBD, which either could be Io Sky, Kairi Sane, or Raquel Rodriguez. What are we thinking?
Kiana's a bit of a surprise.
It is a little bit of a surprise.
But I'm glad to see her in the match, because we talked about it at Royal Rumble. She put on a really good effort in that match that I think surprised a lot of us, where we kind of go, oh, this is what they saw in her when they wanted to bring her up. Okay. And this feels a little bit like Tiffany Stratton in, I think it was 24 when they were in Perth, where Tiffany got into that Elimination Chamber. And I mean, she was kind of getting a bit of the push, but that's where you really heard the fans kind of embrace the whole Tiffy time and really get behind her. So I'm hoping it's a similar kind of thing with Kiana James of like, okay, maybe she can kind of step out of that secondary role with Julia and cement herself as kind of a feature, a person.
But you look at the names in this one, it's like, I don't know who stacks up against Jade the best that we haven't seen. Because do they run Tiffany and Jade back one more time?
I'm going to say something. I know they really want to build the card with names, and this is going to sound bad of me to say. I really kind of hope Rhea is not the person.
I don't think if Rhea's the person. I think it's because there's a tag program there with her. I don't know if that's the one to go to.
Right. But it's one of those things of like, if you said Jade versus Rhea, that is a big name matchup. But I feel like it's getting to the point with Rhea where we've talked about it with Charlotte and a few others where you're kind of going, I don't need to see her in every major thing. Like, is she going to get a feature match at Mania? Absolutely. She is a big name. You want to see her on the card. But I don't want to see her fighting for the title when she already has the tag belt and she was in the featured title match last year in the three-way.
Yeah. It's weird. But again, LeMant goes, I'm surprised they aren't going with Charlotte, with Bianca apparently not going to be able to go for Mania. Well, the Charlotte program, she's in the tag program. Like, you're going to probably get a four-team something or other with the women at WrestleMania.
Because that also features a lot of women on your card, which is what they have wanted to do.
Because it's going to be probably the Bellas. It's going to be Charlotte and Alexa. It's going to be Rhea and Io. And probably the
Kabuki... Maybe someone from NXT or something.
No, I was going to say the Kabuki Warriors, most likely, too.
Yeah.
So you're in a spot where I don't know what you do. And you have Asuka in this one, so Asuka... unless you don't...
With Kairi, possibly.
Right, and maybe you don't do the Kabuki Warriors in the tag program and Asuka and Jade your match? Because, Tim, Bianca not being here kind of probably threw off some plans.
I think that is exactly right. How to talk about this, really? It's wild that it's taken this long for her to be able to come back.
She just had surgery on her finger last week.
Yeah.
They tried everything. It's when you get it broken at the knuckle and it don't heal right.
Well, it's like getting it broken at the wrist. It's worse than just the standard broken bone.
Yeah.
But they should have just done the nuclear option to begin with, I think.
Which is what?
Just operate on the damn thing like immediately
and for her.
Go from there. For her, yeah. But, you know, as far as that goes, I'm pretty positive they had expected, like as late as December, for her to be ready to go.
Yeah, and that's why when she wasn't in the Rumble, it was like, huh.
Yep. So definitely throwing a wrench into the works a little bit, because they have, like, before she got her finger burgered up, they were wanting to eventually lead to Jade versus Bianca, which is something I've been calling for since Jade signed.
So I'm going to throw this out to Brent as an idea. So Brent, the other day in the almost all-time greatest we did on the rack, there was a moment we kept talking about, one that involved Kofi Kingston.
Yep.
And the Rated R Superstar. What if that happens to Kiana? Maybe Bianca's actually fully healthy and just shows up and they takes Kiana out of the match and she's going to come get her some in the chamber.
Ooh, a surprising swerve we've never seen before.
That would be intriguing. Also, in terms of whoever TPD is, it could be that person as well.
Why did it sound like you just said TPD?
TBD.
Yeah, it sounded like you said P, not D. B, I'm just saying.
It would be intriguing to see that. From a storyline standpoint, I don't know how that fits with Bianca.
Or Kiana gets taken out beforehand by somebody, and then you set up something.
Yeah, I get that. What would be funnier is if it was business investment.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's Kiana's whole gimmick. What if it was like someone made that kind of deal, and yeah, Kiana's like, oh, well, ow, I turned my ankle, I can't make it, but I have a replacement, and then yeah, it's like Bianca gets in there, or whoever gets
something
in there.
Yeah.
I think with that could be an interesting way of shaking things up as well, even if it's not Bianca, but I think like if you could do that with another name and have it as like a way of introducing surprise, aside from just a TBD, that would be intriguing.
That suddenly makes Kiana James being in the Elimination Chamber match as of now make a lot more sense.
And even if you know, maybe it's not Bianca. Maybe it's Sol who takes over for Kiana if they want to replace someone. Mm-hmm. All depends. But they seem to be very high on Kiana James, and they've apparently always been very high on her before she got injured. So
yeah, and I think her pairing with Julia was a way of, like, before maybe they were comfortable with her in the ring, it was like, we can still get you featured on TV, we can still get people accustomed to you, and then, yeah, she starts competing, and it's like, okay, now we can run with this more.
Yeah, get her back, because they don't do live events anymore, so getting reps with Julia is not the worst thing.
Mm-hmm. One thing that's interesting also to note is, I mean, Tiffany seems to be having some other commitments happening outside the ring as well, which could cloud things for stuff like Mania.
Yeah, bodybuilding competition.
I was going to say, she's getting ready to compete in bodybuilding, which the training for that and the preparation, you know, she could pull something on, you know, while training, and then all of a sudden, yep, she's all of a sudden Mania plans are completely thrown out of whack if she were to win here. So that's another thing to consider when we're looking at the field and who's possibly going to take it or not.
So you know the field. Who's your pick from the field?
The problem is, when it comes to Elimination Chamber, like, we look at, like, this TBD that's happening in both the chamber matches. And usually, I mean, I was guilty of this last time they had something where I'm like, oh, whoever's going to be this last entrant, they're not really going to have a chance. And it was like, I think it was El Grande Americano was supposed to be in, I think it was like King of the Ring or something. And I was like, oh, there's no chance. And it's like, he made a run. And I was like, well, shit. There went that logic. So you're right. It is hard when we're looking at this and trying to make a pick of like, who do we see getting getting a featured title match at WrestleMania out of this group? I honestly think, like we've talked about, it's a toss up between Tiffany and Asuka right now, because Rhea, Alexa, there's a group of them that are all, I think, going to be clouded together with what can happen with either the tag belts or additional storyline. I mean, even with Asuka, you've got that additional storyline of like, her and Kyrie. I don't think it's a Mania level storyline, but they're already setting up that it's like Asuka and Kyrie is an eventual meetup. We just don't know when. I guess I'm going to go Tiffany, but I mean, they've already had that program. I think, for lack of a better grouping here, I think I'm just going to go Tiffany.
Who are you going with, Tim?
Puzzling all of this out. If the surprise return scenario holds or comes true, then I'm picking the surprise return scenario. But as of right now, with the list that we have, including the TBD, if you put Kiari in there with Asuka, that could be the seed plant.
Kiari?
Satch.
Like she, if she's the TBD.
Yeah, if Kyrie is the TBD, yeah.
Kyrie, got it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Kyrie.
Kiari. You added like a few vowels in there.
Yeah, I did. I'm multitasking, so. Kyrie Sane, the pirate chick. If she winds up being the TBD, I could see that happening. And she and Asuka in the chamber, when they both finally wind up being out of the pods at the same time, teaming up for a little bit, one double crosses the other, they're both eliminated. Asuka's pissed. Like I said, I could see that happening. Don't think it's going to. But right now, as it stands, I gotta go with Asuka.
Okay. Going with Asuka. All right. So, Brent, you kind of made it, reluctantly made it a rematch from, what, SummerSlam?
Yeah.
And then a rematch from later in the year as well?
Saturday Night's Main Event.
We're kind of doing that with this next one. We've seen it before. We'll see it again. It's the Men's Elimination Chamber match. It's Randy Orton, LA Knight, Cody Rhodes, Javon Evans, Trick Williams, and TBD of Bronson Reed, Jey Uso, or the original El Grande Americano. So
yeah, it's El Grande Americano could be there, but I think they're going to continue that El Grande versus original El Grande, and he's going to get screwed out of it.
Most likely, yeah. It's probably Jey.
Run it back.
We're gonna run it back.
To me, it might be interesting to put Bronson in there for two reasons. One, he didn't get the Elimination Chamber 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Those reasons. And two, I feel like you want a little bit of the Vision representation in this match.
But counterpoint, do you really want Bronson to be pinned right now?
No.
You don't unless the Masked Man screws him.
But how do you slide the Masked Man into the chamber?
Rock, are we really going to ask that question?
No, but I'm asking how you would do it.
I mean, I understand that, okay, if you listened on Thursday, we talked about the original screw job of the chamber with Shawn Michaels coming up through the grating.
Yes.
We have then seen at least four or five instances aside from that, including from fellow Vision mate Logan Paul getting into the ring. And we even saw one AJ Styles who flew across the world just to be a spiteful dick and, you know, hit LA Knight with a chair.
Yeah.
There are ways into this, and we even saw, I mean, Seth Rollins was a competitor, but he still screwed CM Punk last year with said stomp. As of right, actually Bronson has been assaulted by the Masked Man already.
Right, and there, if you have LA Knight pin Bronson Reed, there's your out, but it's, do you really want to do that spot? because they could.
I, in my opinion, you at least want the Vision somewhat involved in this match, only because they're supposed to be a big faction currently in WWE, correct? I get that.
Injuries are kind of killing it.
Your two leaders have kind of taken a sledgehammer, no pun intended, to that faction. But you still are trying to elevate at least the three healthy members of that group to be something. And if you have Logan Paul, Austin Theory, and Bronson Reed not even part of this match, how are we supposed to take the Vision seriously?
Well,
I get if you have Jey Uso in there, yes, you have the run it back and that you can do with all this and everything.
Run it back, and because he's the guy who main evented WrestleMania last year, you know, you kind of have all tie-in and all the things. But also,
if you look at the field, does Randy Orton, LA Knight, Cody Rhodes, Javon Evans, Jey Uso, and then Trick Williams, you've got essentially five faces and one heel in that match.
You do, but everyone knows Cody Rhodes is winning the match, so it doesn't matter who you're putting in there.
I know that this is tracked for Cody to win. It's the same kind of thing when Drew was going to win it in Australia, and you know, Brock being in the match and running roughshod over everyone in the shortest elimination chamber in history, because he apparently jumped the gun a little. But I don't know. I think it is a foregone conclusion that Cody's going to win this and get set up with him and Drew at Mania, because of course you want.
But here's the thing with Cody and Drew at WrestleMania one more time. We've
already seen everything and
we've seen everything. You've got to, like, that's got to be Hell in a Cell or bust at that point.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they've already done three stages of Hell, which is essentially a blow-off, correct?
Yeah. So, LeMans goes, with the interjection of Drew going after Randy in addition to Cody and Jacob, is there a possibility of a fatal four-way between them all, the while exploring the idea of who's actually attacked Jacob combined with an Orton heel tease? I don't know if a four-way is good, though.
I don't know if a four-way is good. I don't know if Orton necessarily wants to be a heel. I think more than anything, like we've seen the past couple of years, Orton's just having fun being Randy. Like, he's just enjoying himself and his limited schedule. He doesn't need to be the legend killer. And in fact, you already have a new legend killer in terms of Gunther, essentially. But Rock talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The second you start to get into a triple threat, a four-way, you get into convolution in terms of how do you set up the story. Because Cody wins the Elimination Chamber. He's justifiably beaten five other people who get his shot. When it comes to Randy and Jacob, what's their claim to get a title shot at WrestleMania? Oh, Drew jumped me. Cool.
That devalues the Rumble, that devalues the Chamber. And that's what you have to avoid when trying to book the three-way or the four-way at that point. I think you're better off doing Jacob Orton solo, Cody Drew as a solo.
For a second, I thought you meant Jacob Randy solo. You're just putting them in a triple threat?
No, this is a solo match, a singles match.
I know, it's hard when you have a character named Solo as well.
I mean, yeah. But, like, you're better off doing that as matches instead of trying to make again, you're devaluing the chamber match. It means nothing if it sets up a four-way. It means nothing.
Well, and the other thing is if you do something like a Jacob and Randy match at Mania, that can be your backlash main event of whoever wins the title gets that number one contender.
Right, or you could do your three-way, or your four, or you've set up the four-way, or whatever you want to do there, rather than Mania, too. I think coming out of this, you're going to see Javon Evans probably fly off of...
Everything.
Okay, I'm going to touch on what was just said here. If WWE's solution to getting tickets to sell is going to be matches that we've seen a lot of times, that's not going to work. Okay, I don't know if the solution to selling tickets is we're going to have a four-man match here. We're going to have a possible four-way for the women's tag team titles. We're going to have a multi-person match for like a U.S. or Intercontinental title. At that point, it just feels like we're throwing everybody on the card, which isn't going to necessarily sell tickets.
I'm going to get in trouble with a certain segment of pro wrestling fans, but that just sounds like Tony Khan booking.
No.
An eight-man tag team? Or, I'm sorry, a 12-man tag team match for $1 million?
Here's the thing. Right. But for Tim, to take away Tim's point, Tony Khan tries to avoid multi-man singles matches, like for a singles championship. He tries to avoid them as much as possible. It's hard, though. It's hard to... Adding Jacob and Randy is not going to move tickets in a title match.
Well, and here's the other thing. Like, we're all saying that Cody is the foregone conclusion to get to Mania. What we're not saying is Cody is the foregone conclusion to win at Mania.
And maybe Cody's not the foregone conclusion. Maybe they decide Cody Jacob is the match at WrestleMania.
I don't think Cody is a lock to win next Saturday at all.
What's the lock then? If he's not, who's your pick?
Again, it was brought up earlier in the discussion. You've got this faction you're trying to keep alive and you're trying to keep the heat on. And with the three not crippled ones, so far you've been adequate. There's one spot left. It's going to get filled tomorrow. And I am saying that they're going to fill it with Bronson.
Bronson Drew does not move numbers.
I said they're going to fill it with Bronson.
I'm just saying, you said foregone conclusion. Okay, it's not Cody, so you're saying Bronson?
I'm halfway through what I'm talking here.
Keep going then, because right now that's okay. Not moving tickets.
You put Bronson Reed in the cage. Who's he got the most heat with that's already in the chamber?
LA Knight, we talked about that.
Yeah, exactly. You see, my pick for winning the chamber is they're finally pulling the trigger on LA Knight. He's still smoking hot with the fans. He's paid his dues.
Ooh, that's a rough match. LA Knight and Drew. Ooh, I don't know how good
the internet. The internet would be happy for a moment.
For a moment, but I don't know how good the match would be though.
Now, here's the problem with LA Knight.
It's either all or nothing with that match.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a gamble. It is. It really is.
Well, I was going to say the thing with LA Knight is if he wins the chamber, he has to win at Mania. If you're playing on the idea that, like, oh, the internet loves LA Knight and he's still hot.
It's not just the internet that loves LA Knight. It's the fans in general.
I get it.
Not just the internet.
But their whole thing is, you know, oh, WWE has overlooked LA Knight, or, you know, he never gets that opportunity. Okay, he gets the opportunity here. If he loses, I would say it's even worse, because then it becomes, see, you put him in the spot, you didn't have the guts to pull the trigger, then he's, you know, they have no faith in him. I don't know why I need to believe in him anymore. If Knight wins the chamber, he has to win at Mania. Has to. Or else you've turned him into Dolph Ziggler.
And who's to say they're not thinking that, right?
Oh, I'm not saying that they're not, that it's not a consideration, but I'm saying it's the mentality needs to be, if you put LA Knight in that match, or if you have him to win the Elimination Chamber, then it needs to be, well, he's got to win it all.
It's like there are some fans already turning on the thought of supporting LA Knight, which, you know, that could be a problem. But how many times have I gone out on a limb and really, really rolled the dice in a huge-ass gamble?
All right, so he's going to LA Knight. So, all right, put it on the board. All right, Brent, LA Knight. Who are you going?
This one's rough because, like, again, Cody to me is Rhea in the women's. I know he's the quarterback. I know he, you know, Drew has screwed him, and that's part of the storyline. I don't necessarily need to see Cody with that belt again. He went without it from Mania to SummerSlam last year. I think it was fine. Then he got the belt back and then took, what, a month or two off to go film? And you've been running Drew and Cody ever since, essentially, SummerSlam. I don't know if I want to see Cody win this just so that he can go back into the main title picture. I think he needs to step away for a little bit. But when I look at the other people in this match, I go, Javon Evans has been on, you know, the main roster for less than a cup of coffee, and I don't think him versus Drew McIntyre is quite a WrestleMania match at this point. LA Knight, we just talked about, if I pick him to win, then I have to say, like, he needs to win everything or else there's no point in it. Trick Williams, he's getting a step, but I still think he's at least a year out before getting a feature Mania match. And yes, there's Randy Orton sitting there, but I don't know if Orton versus McIntyre is the trigger you want to pull for this year.
So,
grudgingly, I'm choosing Cody just because it seems like the biggest storyline coming out of it, but I just, personally, I just don't know if I even want that.
That sums up the build to WrestleMania.
But the question is also, like, if you do Rhodes McIntyre, you could say that is night one main event. Because I think Punk and Roman is a night two.
Oh, yeah, that, without question. But it needs to be, like, Hell in a Cell.
Right, but it's also like, okay, if it's LA Knight versus Drew McIntyre, does that feel like night one main event? Or no, would that be, okay, we're going to put Liv versus, like, Stephanie as a night one?
Yeah.
See, that's the problem with, like, LA Knight, in a sense, with if it's Randy, then you could say it's a night one, just because Randy has the history gravitas, Drew has the background, you're like, okay, I could see that as a one, but you need to put a good story with it.
I guess we're gonna find out what they do.
Yeah.
But that was Elimination Chamber.
Or at least our look at it.
Indeed. But that'll do it for WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, when Raw ends, we'll be live to talk about it on the Raw post show. Thursday night, The Rack previews the Elimination Chamber. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. another edition of CB Radio. We're back next Sunday to review the Elimination Chamber on WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. It's at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. Tim.
You want me to plug my Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it nowadays? Yeah, you can follow me at FlamesForms. I post every day. Some of it's interesting. You should follow me and find out.
Brent.
Yeah, you can find me on various social media, X/ Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. And also, I know Rock plugs this kind of thing later on, but I just have to hit one little button really quick.
Let the good times roll.
Hey, Brent, thanks for
37 months.
Thanks, Brent, for 37 months. Chad, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen, or do what Brent did and just hit the button in general. And subscribe to the channel. It helps support things around here. You can also use carry code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store when you buy Disney plushie backlinks.
I saw those earlier today.
They're not bad.
They're not bad. They're not great, though. So,
not great.
If you're into Disney, more power to you.
It's great for Disney people. And it's the first step of bringing more of that to Fortnite.
Yeah.
But that's it, Tim. We're done.
Yeah, that's it. That's another edition. Like Rock said, we'll be back next Sunday night to review Elimination Chamber. Every now and then, if you're in the cold weather zone, bundle up. If you're in the hot weather zone, don't rub it in. That's all I can tell you. And being the good sportsman that I am, I offer congratulations to Team USA on the gold medal victory in the final event of the 2026 Milan Cortina Olympics today.
Medals. They got two medals in hockey.
Yeah, we got women and men's hockey.
No. Today, the final.
There were two, Tim. There were two.
Yeah. I know. You're trying to rub it in. And being a poor winner is ridiculous garbage. We're talking
but you
about
know what?
What happened today. You know what?
You
want me to take it back.
Congratulations on curling. There. I'll give you that one.
They got
he's a cheater. Anyway. No, the men win gold.
They cheated
their way to gold. The women cheated their way to bronze. It's all good. Casey will be probably kind of happy, but mad at me for saying what I said. I don't know. We'll find out. That being said, all right, shut up. Go do your homework. Brush your teeth and go to bed. We got a cure. Blow the stage up. Be out the door. Sometimes we all need an escape. So when we fall off track, you get your mind right and make a stack. I made a pact with my crew on the hill. We'll continue to build for all the people who will need that bill. Gotta rise up. Turn the tide. Can't stop. How high can you get?
talkradio.com.